Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Another blessed Saturday night. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast once again. We're grateful to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity to share the Word of God again with you. I want to shout out to those you listen to broadcast here in the United States. Welcome. Welcome to those of you in Canada and Mexico. Philippines, welcome. Welcome to those of you in Iraq. And every country that I have not named, I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at an email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com, the GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN, at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Praise be to God. So, wherever you listen to me, everywhere, we wait for my brother to come on. Won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, Heavenly Father, King of kings and Lord of lords, once again, we come before you humbly as we know how. We thank you, Lord God, that you are present because you said where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you will be in the midst. Lord, this day, this night, we ask that you will move in a mighty way and touch those that speak tonight. Lord God, let your words go forth in spirit and truth and touch the hearts of the listeners. Tonight, we come against the enemy. We bind you, Satan, and every works of the devil. We come against every hindering spirit that has been released by the enemy to come against us and to hinder this broadcast. We plead the blood of Jesus against you and your works. We take the sword of the Spirit and cut asunder your plan. We take the battle axe of the Lord and crush it right now. So in Jesus' name, we release the peace of God over this broadcast in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, we will give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Glory be to God. God bless all of you on this blessed Saturday. As I said, as promised, it's 7 o'clock broadcast, heart to heart, with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens. We are once again grateful for such an opportunity that the Lord has given us to present the gospel to you all that are listening. I want to once again encourage you to draw closer to the Lord like you never have before and get prepared for the things that are about to come. Now, I know some of you saying you just keep saying that. Well, we got to keep warning you, okay? Got to keep warning. We don't stop the warning message until it's the end, okay? And you have to be warned because, hey, if we sit around and don't warn, this is what many Christians have missed, the blood of this generation going to be on our hands. You know, some of y'all think we just out there and we talking to you about Christ because we just trying to waste time or get on your nerves or bug you or quote, as some of you want to say, judge you and all that stuff. No, we have a commission from the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I say we, I'm talking about men and women of God. And the most common and great commission we have is to preach the gospel and to tell people about repentance. Okay? That's the common commission that every believer have in Christ. Whether you're in the ministry or not, if you're saved, hey, that's a commission from the Lord to warn people about repenting, okay? Because all that will not, do not, and will not repent, you're not going into the pearly gates, okay? And this is such a misleading thing in many, many funerals, through the mouth of many, many family members and all that. Everyone that dies, their family is automatically put them in heaven. They could have been the worst sinner who cussed Christ and everything every day of their life. But according to them, they're still going in heaven. And that's just not so. And so we're commissioned to tell people, say, hey, repent. Now, I've gotten to a point that more and more people, because of some stumbling by some who claim to be in the ministry or some who have been in the ministry, but they have stumbled, now more and more people don't want to hear nothing about repentance. In fact, they think that anything should go in services. Okay? Amen. And when you go to correct them, they got the constant bring up about how Preacher Joe is fooling with the women or stealing the money or on drugs or sex trafficking and all that. They got to bring that up to justify why they shouldn't do according to what God's word said. Listen, I'm not condoning any sin that any minister would ever do. But what, remember this, no matter who the minister is, the word of God doesn't change. And see, you got people who think because they caught this pastor sinning and committing abomination, they just going to dispel the whole word of God, period. Okay? They're just going to throw that on out the window. Because they spend it, and don't get me wrong, you know, what leaders can do can influence people. I'm not speaking against that. This is what I'm saying, that, you know, people have found out that other, and everyone that's in the ministry, they are so, many that's in the ministry, let me put it this way, are so-called, okay? But they have looked at the failure of others, and it's like they have used that to get this, to even judge God. Amen. You know, when you listen to people who have caught other ministers and stuff doing stuff they ain't got no business, they quit coming to service, they quit going to quit praying, quit reading. And then if you talk to them one day and say, hey, you know, we miss your service, yeah, I know, but I'm doing other things. And then if you really get deep and talk to them, they say, well, listen, I was disappointed when Pastor Joe was cheating on his wife, blah, blah, blah. I understand you were disappointed, but you're going to take it out on God? Amen. And then people come up with, oh, well, I'm doing my own thing, and God honors that. Listen, God honors his word, people, okay? You got people who the excuse they make in not coming to church service is that I can worship God at home. Well, God did not tell you to stay at the house. He said, forsake not to assemble yourselves together in Hebrews, okay? But see, people want to take certain scriptures they heard quoted or look for certain scriptures to try to fit them and speak half of it and try to justify. Guess what? Ain't going to work. You might think it's working, but you're going to find out before it's over with, okay? But we have been given a commission to preach the gospel, to tell people to repent, you know? And as I shared with y'all on a broadcast at one time before, I remember I was talking to a brother, and this has been about 18 or 19 years ago, and he told me, so, well, we ain't got to tell people to repent. And I was like, what? You know, he said, preach the gospel, preach repentance. And he said to me, he said, well, they already know to repent. Wait a minute. If that being the case, then Jesus messed up because he sure went around telling people to repent, okay? And he's talking to people who knew they had sin in their life. Because remember when they caught the woman in adultery, he said, he without sin, let him cast the first stone. Now, if they had no knowledge of knowing that there was sin in their life, okay, they would have just went ahead and stoned and took her out, okay? But what I'm saying is this, you know, you find that today, and I'm listening to people who, you know, just taking away the whole repentance thing, even the word of God. And now they got this mindset that there's supposed to be no order in the church or no order in the church services. Amen. They got that kind of mindset. And they're quick to say, well, pastor ain't God. Well, I know he's not God. But if he was appointed in that position, okay, then he was appointed by the authority of God. And God is giving him authority to exercise to do certain things. Now, am I pointing you to you to worship your pastor? No, I'm not. But see, people have caught other pastors doing stuff that they have fall out worshiping, fall out respecting the leadership. Now, I said respecting. I ain't talking about worshiping, okay? Respecting because, you ain't God. And they think they can just do anything, okay? So now you got today because there are people who think that, okay, you got pastors doing this, doing that, doing this, and got no business, doing stuff they ain't got no business doing. And I say, hey, I agree with you. But do you use that to not flow orderly in Christ? Do you do that way? I mean, for example, I can go visit another church and that pastor can be behind the pulpit saying something wrong. Do I get up in front of everybody and quote, call myself correcting him? Or is there a certain way that we got to go by in love and talk? Okay. Amen. Glory to God. Even if I know he done something he got no business doing, okay, the night before, and he's up there preaching the pulpit and talking some stuff, and I can know he's talking contrary, and I need to talk to him, there's a time to do that. I don't just get up there and stand up in front of everybody and try to make an open show of him. You think God sitting in heaven going to sit there and say, you go, boy? No, I ain't going to say nothing like that. In fact, God is going to get on me. Even if I was right, per se, you get what I'm saying? And see, I'm listening to people more and more in this time because the failing of many pastors and some doing stuff that they ain't got no business doing, they're making it a thing where it's like they're talking like anything should go in the services, okay? And if the pastor say, hey, you know, we don't need to do that. You brother, sister, you need to sit down. Then they want to cut up. Okay. And then they want to say, well, you're not my God. Listen. Understand this. Even in the church, it was God that set up leadership. Now, let's get that straight, because you got to understand that in the true form, leadership didn't set up itself. God set up leadership. Okay. For a reason. Just like on many of your jobs, you got what? Supervisors, okay? And many of you listen to them. You don't go, you know, and come home and say, I ain't listening to them no more because they ain't God. No, you're going to go, and that supervisor, when he tell you to do a job, you're going to do it. Amen. Even to a point with some of you, even if you disagree with what he was telling you to do, some of you still going to go and do it. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. Hallelujah. So I'm saying is we need to stay balanced, because I just hear so many people like, you know, and I understand you have to report on some things where there are some shortcomings. And so people won't be misled into thinking that's okay to do it. But however, don't let yourself get caught up being imbalanced where you start thinking that, okay, the pastors ain't God, and you're starting to think that, okay, we're supposed to let whatever goes, anything go. Now, don't get me wrong. Christianity in general, we have painted a bad picture in many levels, many aspects of the field. This is why God is doing the work of restitution and restoration this day, because he's bringing forth the church that's set up by him. See, what the world don't understand is that the churches – they're seeing is churches that are not set up by Christ. Now, I know some people get offended what I just said, but I'm just going to be real and honest with you, okay? And so when they seeing things done that's not set up by Christ, they, this ain't right. And the church this and the church that, okay? And some of these people that are doing the talking, they ain't no more living right than a dog is a cat. And many of them ain't even thinking about living right, but they looking at that pastor that failed, and they making this one more reason why, one more reason. I don't go to service. One more reason. I don't go to, you know, and I be listening to that, okay? And I've listened to some that when they have said that phrase, they make it like, I'm going to stay outside, but I'm going to be okay. Let me tell y'all something. The Word of God speaks of two main churches in the end, Revelation 12 and 1, Revelation 17. And I'm here to give you some news. So let me tell you this. I hope somebody's standing behind you, just in case you want to almost fall out and can't take what I'm going to say. But you are going to belong to one or the other when the smoke clears. Did you hear what I'm saying? Ain't no in between. Ain't no talking about, I'm going to stay on the outside. I ain't getting involved with the church. You living, and as long as this time rolling forth right now, you're going to belong to one another. You're going to make a decision. Because, listen, it ain't going to be no, I ain't getting involved. I ain't partner. I'm through with church and all that stuff. I hear so many people saying that. And see, their version of being through with church is, quote, really, I don't want to have nothing to do with Christ. Oh, as Brother Kenny Hagin said, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Oh, man, somebody, oh, that ain't what I'm saying. Yeah, because for the most part, many have treated the situation like you really don't do nothing in Christ. Like I said, you stop praying, you stop studying. Even your walk and the way you live is not a part of Christ. But you still want to claim God, and then you get offended and get mad when somebody tells you, hey, you need to repent and come to the Lord. Oh, you swelling up, steam coming from your head, your eyes starting to roll. You all upset. Hallelujah. Amen. And in case you don't realize, some of these ministers that fail, they're going to repent and turn to God. Amen. I didn't say all, okay? I didn't say all, but some of them will. And I say this tonight simply for the reason of this. I'm hearing, you know, when you talk to sinners, now don't get me wrong, the sinner man, some of the stuff they're seeing, they're right. But when you talk to someone about getting saved, that's the first thing they want to throw in your face. Well, why should I come and join the church? Because the people in the church doing what I'm doing. I saw my, well, for a degree, you're right, okay? I said, but are you going to let what you're seeing people doing cause you not to come to the one who can save you from hell? Save you from destruction because you're seeing what other people are doing? I guarantee you, some of you have saw other people who could work just lay around. Did you lay around? No, you went out there and got a job. Okay. You knew bills had to be paid. Family had to be taken care of. And I'm pretty sure some of you know a lot of people who just faking the game, as they say. Amen. Who could work? But you didn't sit around and say, well, I ain't going to work because they ain't working. No, you didn't say that. You went out there and worked. You knew bills needed to be paid. Family had to be taken care of, and that's what you did. Okay? Amen. So we have a commission from the Lord. Okay? And to those of you that, you know, who've been trying to go out there and preach the gospel and repentance unto the people, and you getting doors slammed in your face, hey, I want to say be encouraged. I know right now it's looking like, man, ain't nobody listening. Don't worry. You finna make a hit, okay? You finna make a hit. Right now, you know, I understand, you know, that it gets hard sometimes when you're going out there and preaching repentance and you getting doors slammed in your face or you getting people that want to jump you or, you know. Amen. Because it's something about the word of truth that when people reject it, they get angry. So I understand that. But I just want to speak a word of encouragement to you and say, hey, be encouraged. Keep going. I'm telling you, you're going to make a hit. Okay? Going to make a hit. Because remember, faith motivates our whole Christian walk, including the work we have to do for the Lord. Okay? So I'm not here telling you that it's a bed of roses, it's a bedrock walk. I'm not telling you that. What I'm telling you is that if you keep at it in Christ, you're going to be successful, okay? And like I said, I understand doors being closed in your face, you know. Like I said, people, you know, First few words of repenting come out your mouth. They ready to jump you, fight you, ready to ask you, who are you to judge me and all that. And that's one word especially. I say especially in the last few years and strongly in the last 2 or 3 years that people is just throwing around to excuse their life of living in sin is you can't judge me. And I had to be honest with you, God had to strengthen me many times because I get so tired of hearing people say that for justification. And many times when you come across those people like that, they don't want you to tell them nothing. Nothing about repentance. They can be stealing money dead in front of your face. And you say, hey, you need to stop. You need to repent. You can't judge me. That's what they say. Okay? But let someone steal their car or their house or something, and they be in court. You think they're going to jump on that judge when that judge take that gavel? Boom, hit it down and tell the one that did the stealing, you sentenced to this and that. They ain't going to jump around that judge's throat. They ain't going to tell that judge, hey, wait a minute, judge, you can't judge him. I guarantee they ain't going to say that. But when it comes to the giving of the word, where people are told, hey, you need to repent. You got people throwing up. You can't judge me. And this thing has crept, quote, in the church so bad. It had gotten in the church so bad that now, like I said, you got folks, they doing whatever in the church services now. I mean, I've been seeing stuff in services that, you know, it just make you, as Henry and Monique would say, wow. You know, because for the simple fact, it's like anything goes. And now you got people today that want to join churches where anything goes. Okay, you can lap dance in the church, okay? They like that, okay? Preachers behind the pulpit cussing, they like that. And now the churches have become an entertainment station where we want to entertain you because we're more concerned about getting more bodies in these pews and having large, quote, churches so we can brag. And we say that the only way we can do it is entertainment. And just like it, when you look in sports, you look at the NBA, okay, sports. It's you know, I'm getting more and more turned away from it. Why? Because we're living in a time now, it's all about entertainment. And so you brush somebody the wrong way, beep, they call it foul, okay? And there's really too much of what you call too much of no defense. Defense what? They all about entertainment. You know, you run down the middle lane, jump in the air and smile, do your little jerky in the air, and nobody can't touch you, and you slam. So that's what it's about. Okay? And that's what has come in the church. The churches have become an entertainment station. Okay? And this is why you see some of these churches trying to get Hollywood stars to get up behind the pulpit and speak. Oh, yeah, they putting some whoever up there now. If you're a Hollywood star, you very well-known, popular, hey, we trying to get you to come to speak to the at the church. Oh, we ain't care about you being saved. You can be dabbling in witchcraft and doing magic at the same time, smoking drugs, drinking and getting drunk, fooling around and cussing for what? We're going to put you in the pulpit because you're popular. It's all about entertainment, okay? And drawing people. This is why the truth. See, this is why in these last days, the word of God tells us, see, there's going to be a separation between the true and the false, the sheep and the goat, okay? And one of the things that's going to cause this is the word of God, where that repentance is going to be preached and taught, and you're going to see people make their decision. And I'm here to tell you not to speak a curse, but it got to be real. Some families are going to be split. I'm telling you right now. Some families going to be split. Some husband and wives are going to be split. Because one going to want to do what the word said, what the other ain't. It's plain and simple. Some the parents and the children is going to be split. Okay? Amen. See, you got loved ones. You give them the word, but you can't make them accept the word. See, every man got to give an account for himself, okay? Can't make them accept the word. So to the wife, hey, you try to get a husband the word, and he's like, hey, blah, 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 and I don't want to hear no more, blah, blah, and he don't want to do it. He wants to live his own. Okay, ain't nothing. Listen, there's nothing you can do. The same way to the husband. You trying to give the wife the word she don't want to hear and blah, blah, and live her own thing. Do okay, it's nothing you can do. They going to have to answer to God. And I'm telling you, there are going to be splits in the family. Read, what is that, Matthew 10? It'll tell you about that. You know, father against son, mother-in-law against daughter. That's going to happen. Why? Because the sword, which is representation, one of the representation of the word of God, it's going to bring a split. Amen. And when you got one in the family say, hey, you know what? This is not honoring God. This is disrespecting God. We need to stop doing this. And the other on the other side saying, well, I don't see nothing wrong with it. Why we shouldn't be able to do it? We ain't hurt nobody. You know, you're going to have a split. And if you look at today, how Satan had been working through society to, quote, rearrange the order in the house. Okay. Amen. You will see some things that is going on. Now, they at a point where they don't even want you to put on the birth certificate of your child the gender, female or male. They want you to, quote, leave it blank. I know they was, I think, started that in New York. You know, then if your child 2 years old, a 2 year old boy, pick up a pink dress, he wants to be a girl, according to them. And that means that mom and daddy need to let him start playing with girl stuff. You know, that's just ridiculous, okay? And that's something put out by Satan in the mind of man. That didn't come out by God, okay? Amen. So we have a commission to preach repentance to the people. And we have to tell them, okay? And some of y'all, you know, talking about, well, you know, I don't want to judge nobody. Now, wait a minute. Jesus told you in the Bible to preach repentance. You was commissioned by the Lord. What are you talking about? Yeah, I don't want to judge nobody. And so you think you're going to stay quiet. But remember, the blood of this generation is required at your hand if you profess in Christ. So while you sitting up there in the corner talking about, I don't want to tell nobody, I don't want to offend them, stuff like that, and thinking in your mind that you getting off scot-free, you are dead wrong, okay? You, as a Christian, you have a job to do, okay? We all have a job to do. And the common job is to preach the gospel and to tell the people repentance. Repentance is not a popular message. It is not the fur coats and the diamonds and the house message with the money. It's not that kind of message. You understand that? And if you caught up in popularity, no, you ain't going to tell. You're not going to speak it. And that's what has happened to some of God's people. They have gotten caught up in popularity. They love those big titles and big names they call. The dynamic, the outstanding, the super. I'm like, my goodness, would you please quit, okay? With all these names, you know. But some of God's people have come to enjoy that. They like to be called all those names. And you can just see their head just swelling. Amen. And they end up getting off track from God. And then they begin to start teaching stuff that scripture does not support. But you know one of the reasons why they do it? Because they know that they're going to get some people to accept it. Amen. Some of these big time televangelists and quote pastors that sing in gospel who now starting to say stuff that scripture don't support. Why? Because they know that there are some, when they got what, so many thousand followers? They know because it's them that the people are going to accept it. I ain't saying about them asking God. Now, we're not going to ask God. We're going to talk to God about it because it's so-and-so saying this. So ain't no, we're going to talk to God about it. He says, it's okay. If well-known singing pastor so-and-so said we actually came from monkeys, then it has to be true because he said it, okay? Got to be true. And so people accepting it. Now, some of y'all listen and say, oh, there you go, being far-fetched again. You think I am. No, I'm not. Okay? No, I'm not. Hallelujah. So, yeah, we got a job. We got a job to do, people. And that is to preach the gospel of repentance. You got to tell people to repent now. If fear got a strong hold, then you need to pray and ask the Lord help you to get rid of that fear. I'm going to pass my sister on here. God bless you, sister. How you doing? God bless. Okay, look like we're having some difficulties here.
Okay. I can hear you now, bro. Oh. Thank God for
you. Oh, you can hear me now? Okay, God bless you, sister. How you doing?
I'm blessed of the Lord, brother. Blessed of the Lord. Thank God for you coming on because it is really, I was listening and it's really time to get that word out there. And I thank God for you stepping up.
Amen, sister. We have to do what God has commissioned us to do. And, you know, I was just looking at, you know, today, a guy was speaking and he was telling some things about these certain well-known like ministers, things like that they was doing that, you know, apparently was wrong, okay? And like I said, I don't condone sin. But my thing is that I'm listening to so many people talking about it and they're using it as an excuse for anything goes. You know, you know, pastor so-and-so fooling around with the women, you know, and then you start hearing them, they say, that's why I don't go to church, you know, like that. And you like, okay. And they don't really do nothing in concerning the things of God because why? They're looking at man and they let what man has done really to cause them to even judge God. You know, and some of them have quit coming to service, quit praying when they found out that Preacher Joe failed and all this stuff. And when you talk to them, say, hey, we miss you at service. They like, I just was doing other things. But when you really get down and talk to them, sister, they're going to bring up to you how they were disappointed. Pastor Joe, we thought he was a man of God, things like that. And don't get me wrong. I understand that has an effect on people, but when you let it get to a point where you want to miss your salvation, you want to deny your salvation, you want to reject salvation because you found out that Pastor Joe wasn't all what he lived up to be or supposed to have lived up to be, then you going like, okay, I'm like, you don't realize you're really destroying yourself.
Yes, amen.
And this is what we have to let people know about too, sister. We have to tell them, this is why we point them to a relationship with Christ, okay?
Amen.
That has to be, and this is why we point them to be in balance. Don't just pick up the Bible when you come to service. You pick the Bible when you're at the house and study. Don't let it just be one-sided. But so many people are one-sided because sister, you can tell them less like you telling them about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ through his angel messenger. Well, one of the things they're going to tell you, say, well, if my pastor don't say it, you know, if my pastor don't tell you hear that over and over. And you be like, do you ever study the word at home? You know, do you ever do that? You know, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I just think and I praise the Lord because, you know, that which separates or that which we allow to stand between us and God, it will be our destruction. So the people that are allowing another person, what your pastor is saying, not getting into the word and seeking the Lord for yourself, because I truly know that if you're honest and sincere, when you go to him to get an answer, he will give you an answer. And he does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I just thank and I praise the Lord because anything that you put before Christ, it could be mom, daddy, husband, or children. Whatever separates you from God will be your destruction, you know. And I just think and I praise the Lord that he's really been, you know, working on me. And I wasn't able to get on to the broadcast last Saturday night. We was in Hershey, Pennsylvania. And I just thinking and I praise the Lord that I had the opportunity to, you know, share the word with some young people. And I did mention it last night, you know, and I think about what the word says. When the Lord says that it's 10,000 times 10,000 just waiting, and that he's called for a band of young elders, and there are young people out there, and they seem to be fearless. And I was letting them know that you're praying parents. There are people praying for you, and you don't even know that they are praying for you. You know, that's keeping you and keeping you safe. And I was just, you know, talking to them and telling them because they are traveling around and going places. And I was just thinking, you know, and talking to them and letting them know how the Lord Jesus could use you to take that word. Because, I mean, it's like every month, you know, they're out and going somewhere, you know, even in the midst of this pandemic, I was, you know, letting them know that you have to not only obey the law of the land, but you need to be obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was talking to them, and the Lord put it on me. Parents, get your children. You need to get yourself right with the Lord, because that word says, you know, that if you come before him with a contrite spirit and a broken heart, and you confess your sins before the Lord, that Lord Jesus is faithful and just to forgive you. And the parents need to come so they can save their children. They need to save their children. You know, Lord, let me know that the devil is out to get the minds of these children. And well, they're not all just children, because the group that I'm talking about, they're young people. And these were young couples, and I just think and I praise the Lord for them. And that's what that devil wants to do. You know, like I was, you know, like telling them, who you think was leading in the mind of those people that stormed in on the Capitol? You got young children at home that's supposed to be doing their schoolwork on the computer. They're ordering drugs online and committing suicide right there in the home, right in the home. It's like, where are the parents, you know? And I was letting them know that there's no reason for a child to be in the home and get so bored to that point. There's a lot for them to do, you know, even if you got to tell them to go and screw about the toilet. But see, a lot of parents now, they don't give their children chores to do. They don't watch their children. Children are growing up now, and the TV is watching them. Now it's those games. They enter those games on that phone now that's babysitting. And Lord was he just gave it to me to, you know, talk to these young people and how the Lord could use them. They're already out there, and they are here and there, and they're Canada, they're going to Puerto Rico. I'd say the Lord could use you to take that word. You need to come and get under the saving, get under the blood of Jesus and be saved. Dedicate your life to the Lord. You think you got it all now, dedicate your life to the Lord, and you will see how much the Lord will bless you. He will bless you because, you know what, the things that are coming, and I let them know, the things that are coming, you have to be ready, and the Lord has sent this last warning, this midnight cry, this awakening, this extra oil to help us to be prepared if we just take heed to it. You know, the brother always say, why you said Lord said call for Solomon's summit? Why the Lord keep repeating call for Solomon's summit? Because it have not been done. It has not
Amen.
Been done. You know, and I just think and I praise the Lord because it's at the point now where it's an urgent. It's an urgency now. It really is. I know
yep.
it's been time, but it's past time now. And I just think and I praise God that where it is leading these young souls, leading souls to Christ. And I was talking to one of the sisters, and I was telling the sister, you know, we pray for people, and we pray for people that the Lord will soften their hearts and convict their hearts. But, you know, the sinners, the some, you know, we pray for people that, you know, we know it. We tell the Lord, you know, to touch hearts, to touch hearts. But, you know, I heard you say, you know, sometimes the Lord give you that you have to call it by name. Call it by
yep.
name. Sinners, sinners,
yep.
all sinners, come, come. Because we are only sinners saved by grace. And I just think and I praise the Lord. And I let the people know, you think that Jesus is not doing anything? He's doing something. He's doing something. And I've been praying and asking the Lord to anoint eyes with that eye salve and open up the deaf ear because they can't see and can't hear what's right at your doorstep. And I think
Amen.
And I praise the Lord for the spirit that's been going forth.
Amen. You're definitely right about that, sister, because we look at the time, like you said, Satan has worked through society to rearrange the order of the home.
Amen.
Now,
Amen.
It shouldn't be in Christian home, but it's sad to say that thing has crept into the Christian home.
Yes.
You know, you look for it in the homes of people that ain't saved, but when you look in and see it in Christian homes, this out of order, where now they went to the point where the child, really, when you look at it, the child calls the shots in the house.
Mm-hmm.
The
Amen.
Child, if the child say, hey, I just feel like that even though I got a boy's body, that, you know, I really supposed to be a girl. And then you got
mm-hmm.
them in the household honoring that.
Yeah,
and making it like it's something great. Okay. You have guys who are known, well known, who
yeah.
parents themselves were saved. And now
mm-hmm.
these guys have had kids, and the kids like, hey, I'm really a girl trapped in a guy's body. And so they're praising that.
Mm-hmm.
They're praising that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the kids, and like you said about a lot of the young kids today, they feel this entitlement. Okay. And the many of the parents have gotten off. See, what you mentioned, sister, they to call you hard, overbearing, and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Because something like that to them is just like, to them, they treat like you just killing a child. You just choking
mm-hmm.
them to death, you know.
Yeah.
When you giving them
mm-hmm.
chores and when you getting on them about the work. Now, you look at this country. Once upon a time, sister, the country used to be concerned about education. Now,
yeah.
this country is not concerned about education. Education has left its grip. When you saw that they took, and out of the many of the school, they took the books away, you know, where you just
yeah.
only have a tablet and stuff. I mean, they started with the books and all this stuff, and now they got to a point that the child, in many instances, don't really have to pass the grade. If they, what, flunk so many times, they automatically be put forward. I'm like, man, what is this? I mean, it's really the education, it just gone. You know, it's like there's no really concern. I know down here in Mississippi, sister, alone, we've had kids that graduated from high school but still had to take high school courses in college.
Mm-hmm.
That's a shame. They still have to take high school
yes.
courses in college.
Mm-hmm. Because
wow.
they didn't finish those schools in high school. You know, brother, that's why it's so important. It's so important. You don't see a lot of that now, but it's so important to the parents be involved in the child's life. You know,
right.
I would have to say I was met with a circumstance some years ago where I was actually told you know, well, if you don't want to come to church, send your children. And I told them, I said, I don't send my children to church. I take my children
right.
to church. And I said, because
right.
I want to know what they are being taught. And that that pastor of that church, I'm telling you, he was all over me because I said, I want to know what they are being taught at church. And I was
huh.
being honest, and I was telling the truth. And I never did send my children to church, you know. It had to be at one time when I was working evening shift, and my husband would take them and go back and pick them up. But, you know, by me seeking the Lord when I first came into the work, I really sought the Lord. I mean, I walked the floor. I stayed up nights, and I sought the Lord because I wanted to know for myself. I wanted to know if this way was the right way, the truth where I should be. And I'm telling you, brother, I sought the Lord, and I was new into this and didn't know anything about it or how to go to the Lord and pray. But I learned where, just like talking to you, I can talk to Jesus because you be real. You be real when you can just talk to Jesus, whatever's on your heart, and you can tell it to him, you know, and knowing that you're not going to get any backlash from it. But I'm telling you, I felt that if I would pray in the dark, that I could really get closer to the Lord in the dark. And that devil tried to use that. But I thank and I praise the Lord. I did not give up, and I sought the Lord until I got an answer, until he showed me, that he showed me. And when the Lord would show me something about this work, I'm telling you, I didn't just accept it because I got so many witnesses in a dream and didn't understand the dream. But I couldn't wait to get to the church to tell somebody, And I'm telling you, I just thinking, and I praise the Lord when he revealed to me about this angel's message, this word of the Lord brought to mankind by an angel. And I couldn't wait to get to tell somebody what the Lord had showed me about it. And even the answer that they gave me, I wanted to know more. I wanted to know more. And, you know, even today, brother, today, I talk to, you know, children. I talk to children. Like last Saturday night, I said we was in Hershey talking to these young couples. And I thank the Lord for them. And the Lord have really blessed them. And as I said, these are college graduate young people, and how the Lord could use them and let them know. You know, the word said that the Lord is calling for a band of young elders, and how he have 10,000 times 10,000 just waiting to come in. How much time? You know, I asked them, how much time do you think you have? What will it take to persuade you to turn a loose, you know, your vanity, your idols, your lust, and these things that separate you from the Lord Jesus Christ, that will end up being your destruction, you know. And they sat, and they really was, I really had their attention, and they listened, and, you know, they wanted to hear more. And I think, and I praise the Lord, that's not where what we went up there for. But my son, he lives in Tower City, Pennsylvania. And they invited us, which was about an hour away up to Hershey, and that's where, you know, I was able to meet these young couples. But I just think and I praise the Lord because it is time to lead these souls to Christ because God values the soul of men. He values them so highly, you know, that because it's a precious. Jesus Christ gave up his life. He valued the soul of man so much that he suffered, he died, and gave his life. And now it's time, and like I said, it's past time to be witnesses for Christ, to be witness for Christ. And everyone that confess Christ should be spreading the gospel of Christ. If you are confessing Christ, it's
Amen.
No other way. That's the way. That is the way. You confessing Christ, and what he requires of us is just to spread the gospel. He gave up his life for that. Jesus Christ gave his life for that. And I thank and I praise the Lord. And through the broadcast, how the Lord, he's really blessing me and really teaching me, you know. And I get in the Word, and the Word become alive. I mean, I see one day I was studying and I was reading, and I had to go back and read it again because I saw words on that page that I had to go back and read it and kind of blink my eyes, and those words that I saw on the page was not there. But I thank and I praise the Lord how he will reveal things to you. He will show you things.
Amen.
And I saw it on the page that when I had to go back and read it a second time, that it wasn't there. But I just thank and I praise the Lord for that. Like we can, you know, the authority, and I'm not talking about, you know, now if a female mentions the authority, people want to jump and think that you're talking about the priesthood authority. No, I'm not talking about the priesthood authority. I'm talking about the God-given authority that I, as a female, can receive because Jesus shed his precious blood, and the authority came through the blood. I can tell that devil to step off, and I can tell that devil I come against you and I annihilate your kingdom and I break your hope and every generation of curse because of the blood of Jesus. I can do that as a female, and I thank and I praise the Lord, and that I can tell that devil, you can't have my children. You can't rule in my home. I can tell that devil, you cannot come on my property. The blood of Jesus is against you, and you cannot come through the blood. And I just thank and I praise the Lord, you know, through the teaching. And that's why we got to share. When the Lord give it to us, we can't hold it. We got to share. And I thank and I praise the Lord because we have the sinner, man, woman, child. They're out there, and that devil is trying to sift them. He's trying to get them, and he's trying to get them through their mind. Because I was telling a young lady, you know, I said, that devil, I said, just look at it naturally. So that devil will come to your front door. He can't get in. Don't think that's going to stop him. He's going to come to the back. If he can't get in the back, don't think that is going to stop him. He's going to try another way. And that word tells us that devil, he comes just like a thief. And that word says he comes like a thief in the night. But that devil comes like a thief. He don't care who he used, what time he come, and he will come to take you out. That's why you better be covered under the blood of Christ Jesus. And the Lord has given me, you know, about the full armor of God, about the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and for to go forth and have your feet shod with the preparation of that gospel of peace and that shield of faith and that sword of the Spirit is that word. It's the word. You know, the word says, for us to get that word, have it written on the tables of our heart. Be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Well, we need it because we're going to need it. It said that it'll come back up out of you like a river of living water. That's like when that devil tried to tempt you, he said, devil, get these hints and get behind me. Get these hints. Let me know.
Amen.
You know, I told this young lady, I said, you know, they got this thing where you put your hand up. When you put your hand up, that means you can't talk to me. You can't talk to me. I said, that devil will run you over. You better know what you're talking about. And the only way you're going to know what you're talking about is through the Spirit, the power, and that word of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. And you're definitely right about that, sister. Like you said, you have some parents now, they're not concerned about what is taught to their children. And even their small children. You know, it ain't got so bad now. Even parents in the faith is not concerned about what those in the congregation under their leadership is leading into. And I'm not saying this for them to rule people's lives, but you have to have a love and concern for people that you want them taught the righteousness of the Word of God. And see, now that it went away, because, I mean, I come across so many folks in the church, you talk to them about the God kind of faith, they just stare at you, like, what you talking about? You know, and you talk to them about the things of God, they don't even know how to answer you. And I'm talking about people who have been in the church for some years, okay? They don't know how to answer. And you can see with some of the ministers that I don't care attitude about them, you know, that, hey, you know, Well, they'll learn, you know. I said, well, part of it is that you're supposed to be teaching them. But see, now that, yeah, that same spirit has went to the homes, okay?
Yes.
It's into the church homes, it's into the family homes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lack of concern. You have a division among the parents,
yeah,
and the children. You have some of the parents who don't care about passing knowledge to their kids, and you got some of the kids who don't even care about getting that. In fact, they think their parents can't tell them nothing because of this technology age we in, okay?
Yes.
You know, because
mm-hmm.
they know how to work the phone or the computer, and mom and dad,
yeah,
hey, they too old. They don't know nothing about they too old, so they can't tell me really anything.
Yeah.
And that's been the attitude
mm-hmm.
of many of the children. And so when mom and dad
mm-hmm.
have to pass knowledge to them, many of them won't accept it because in their mind, what can they tell me? They're old, they, you know. And you hear some of them,
mm-hmm.
when you talk about certain stuff, they say, oh, mom and dad, that's old. That's dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
That's
oh,
this
yeah.
and that. You start hearing that from them. And
amen.
I say to them, I say, you better be very careful. Because, see, in this nation, you know, one of the things we messed up at is that we threw away, and you're going to come to
mm-hmm.
find out, that's going to be hurtful. Because some of these
mm-hmm.
young kids, they are so dependent on this technology that if that cash register go down, they don't even know how to give you change. Okay?
That's the truth. Yeah.
They don't know how to give you change. They're going to stare.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't know what else to do. They just call. And you know, back in the days in the store, if I remember when the cash register messed up, they still had them cashier had to count the stuff out. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
They still had to open the draw
mm-hmm.
and count your change out. Now, shoot, with them young
mm-hmm.
folk, and let that computer go out. You got them. They don't know what else to do. They just lost. And you standing up there a long time when you could have been on your way, but they don't know what else to do. And many of them don't know how to add. Many of them don't know how to subtract. Okay? Many of them know how to divide or multiply because they
Amen.
So dependent on the technology. And this nation have missed it. And
Amen.
We're thinking, oh, we didn't got better. I said, no, we haven't. I said, thank God for technology. It has its place. I said, but what the problem is, we have became too dependent. And so we're trying to go paperless everything now. No paper, whatever. Just punch in, you know, numbers. And you come to find out, even in some of your stores, okay, some of the stores, they machines act up. You ain't got no cash on you in trouble. Because it acts up with those cards that you – And I went to Walmart a few times. When you go to
mm-hmm.
that self-checkout counter, they actually say,
yeah.
Do you got cash? You be like, yeah, why? Okay, because if you didn't, you had a card, it ain't working. You're like, huh? So if you
yeah.
had no cash, you depend on the card, you couldn't get nothing. Okay?
Right. Amen.
It got like that, and it got like that, you know, in the church.
Yeah.
Many in the ministry don't care about people learning the word of God. And many in the pews is not caring about learning. Okay, they just, you know, and it's really something, you know, from what we're seeing
mm-hmm.
in this time right now. But Jesus warned us about it. And this is one of the reasons why the restitution of all things must happen. Okay?
Yeah.
It got to happen. It got to come to pass, and Christ is going to show forth the church that is his, okay, that is set up after him, okay? He's going to show that forth right now because right now Christianity is so messed up. We're so pulled in so many directions, you know. We can't hardly get together. We'll pray with one another a little bit. We might do a little Bible study together. But then our titles of our names of our churches is going to come into play, okay? It's going to come into play at some point because if I feel like I'm a Baptist, the learning that makes me a Baptist won't make me a Methodist. So when my, quote, Baptist kicks in and you say something, you know, that the denomination I'm with don't, you know, believe, then I'm gonna have to let you know. You know, and
amen.
This is what
amen.
This is another reason why me and Brother Robert have mm-hmm. been doing a series on these things, because, you know, we have to let people know of this work of restitution and restoration. And we have to let the people know of some things that are false, okay? And
yeah.
In Christianity, we're claiming some of whoever is our brothers, our sisters, and many of them we claiming don't even believe in Jesus Christ. But we're claiming them to be a brother or a sister in the Lord. And we have to just tell the truth about it, you know, and let people know, amen, that, hey,
amen.
Amen. We do have to do it. I agree, sister, because right now this is the day where, you know, people think, sister, that Christianity is really nothing and that you have no challenges. And you're going to have challenges, okay? When you carry that word out there, everybody not going to like you. And some people going to want to do some bodily harm to you, I'm going to tell you, okay? They're going to want to hurt you. Sister, when we told that guy, me and Brother Hill, we went on missionary work in Canton, Mississippi. It was about 45 minutes from here. And when we went there, and we was going house to house, and we went to this one house, and I think the vehicle may have been there. We were knocking on the door, but nobody came to the door. This guy pulled up, black guy in the truck, and it looked like he's of some plumbing company. I think he got his own company. So he gets out the truck, and we're standing in the driveway. So as he walks towards us and speak, you know, this is the day that, and I had to be honest, I didn't listen to the Spirit, because the Spirit was letting me know, don't say nothing to him. Don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't heed the Spirit. And the guy spoke to us, and I spoke to him, and he walked past us. And he said, asked us, said, is anybody here at the house? And we said, well, we don't know. We've been knocking. So he went and knocked. And that's when I went to give him a message. And he didn't look at that message, sister, a good minute. That man started going off. He was clenching and shaking his fist. He wasn't more about probably 2 feet from me. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, Lord, do I have to watch this guy? Because he got so mad, like he was ready to get physical. And me and Brother Hill were looking at him, and he told us that this is the kind of stuff that caused my mama to get sick. He was telling us all that. And I'm looking at him, and he's talking like, yeah, y'all come to my house. I show you a thing or two. I show you in the Old Testament. And so we were looking at him, and I asked, and then he looked at us, and he said, you know, we can use people like y'all, talking about me and Brother Hill. And I'm looking, I said, what? What church do you belong to? And he said, the Black Hebrews. I said, my God. I said, oh, Lord.
Yeah.
I said, my God.
Yeah.
You know,
got to be prayed up. I witnessed to a lady, and she was telling me about she was living with this man, and so I'm talking to her about the Lord, and I was telling her, I said that the Lord will accept you. All you have to do is repent, confess your sins. And when I was telling her to confess her sins, I let her know. I said, you can't be living with a man that you are not married with. And she, I'm telling you, brother, she stood and she listened and she was shaking her head. And she walked away from me. And it wasn't 30 minutes. I mean, this boyfriend came and he was telling me, don't be telling his woman what to do. And I mean, he was like, you know, but it's like, sir,
yeah.
I didn't mean any harm. I just told him what the scripture, what's in the Bible said, that about living with someone and you're not married to him, that you're in sin. Don't you be telling my woman what to do. Don't be telling my woman what to do. Like, I was not telling her what to do, but I was just telling her what the Bible said, you know. And so we just have to be ready for these things because we already know that they're going to happen. You know, that's why, you know, when I'm, you know, talking to these young people and I'm praying with these young people that I'm telling, you got to be prayed up already. You can't
have
the fear. We went out witnessing, and we went into these people. They had was going to witness, and it was a fence around the house. And when we went through the gate, these big dogs come running along from the back of the house up to the front. And it was Sister Crockett, Sister Lester and Sister Kirby and myself, and we just started praying. I'm telling you, brother, those dogs they did not turn around and run, but they started backing up. They was growling, and they started just backing away from us, backing away from us. And I just thank the Lord because, you know, not just only people, but even animals, they know and sense fear in you. And I just think and
Amen.
I praise the Lord for the time that I've been in the Church of Christ with the Elijah Message, and I tell people, well, where's your church? I belong to Church of Christ with the Elijah Message. The teachings that I have received, and I just thank and I praise the Lord for it because I tell you, the things that has already gone on and things that are going on, if I didn't know, that's why you better know for yourself. You better know for yourself. You can't take nobody else's word for it. You can't take nobody else's the blessings that they have received. You can't receive anything else that anybody else is telling you. You better know for yourself. Because I tell you one thing, I came into this work in 72, and I would have been gone if I didn't know for myself that this is the right way to go, this is the truth, and this is where you go. You know, the things that's coming, the Lord is letting us know now that this is the last warning. This is an awakening. This is that extra oil. This is the truth. And you know, it's the plain and precious part that is the through this word, the Lord is telling us what we have to do to be prepared, telling us what we have to do to be ready, telling us what we have to do to get through these things that are coming on. And even the Lord is telling us that, you know, when the Lord said move, you move. If the Lord don't say move, he's already told us. He said, I will send you in holy places. And I'm just thinking, and I pray to the Lord, because I can tell you, I know for myself, not what somebody told me, or not anybody else's testimony, but for I tell you, in Revelation where it said they overcame by the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb, okay, we know that Jesus Christ has already shed that blood, and I tell you, we better know and have that testimony for ourselves. When you get to walk in this way, you better know for an assurity, because I tell you, when these things come, I can't say I'm going to hide behind Brother Nathaniel, I'm going to hide with Sister, I'm going to Sister Helen's house, and I know I'm going to be safe over there. Oh, no, you better make sure. You better make sure because under the blood is the place that you're going to have to hide.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you all. Sister Helen, how you doing, Sister?
God, doing great. God bless. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank God.
Well, we thank the Lord for you joining us today. We thank God for the opportunity to share the word with those who are listening today. No matter what part of the world they're listening to us on the broadcast, we're definitely grateful to the Lord for opening the door for us to do this and to be blessing us through this as he have done. And I look for God to do greater things. We definitely need to keep in prayer this nation and especially many of the believers who are taken by fear from witnessing. It has become a stronger hold on many of God's people now. They have had a fear of witnessing of Christ to people. Some of them is because they want to fit in. Some of them are afraid to witness because they're, quote, afraid of seeing the consequences that will come or may come from that. But either way it go, we have a job to do. We have to warn the people. The Lord said the blood of this generation is required at the hands of those that profess Christ. So therefore, we need to keep that in mind because the same people we are afraid of cannot save you. Okay, they can't save you like Christ can. So on that note, Sister Helen, is there anything you would like to tell the people today, sister?
Oh, yes. I just thank the Lord, you know, for the word and the testimony, you know, that been going forth, you know, on tonight. And I just thank the Lord, you know, for all things and for his word, because his word is truth and his word is life. And I just truly thank the Lord, you know, for how he is beginning to move, you know, in the lives, you know, of his people. And, you know,
yes.
how the eyes of their understanding is opening, you know, because,
yes.
you know, they see the change and they feel the change in the earth, you know, other things
mm-hmm.
that is about to happen. And then when we get the opportunity, you know, we have a chance, you know, to tell them, you know, about the word of God and what is about to take place, you know, in these last days. And, you know, and that we have to put on the whole armor of Jesus Christ. And I just thank the Lord,
Amen.
You know, that I had a chance to talk to my daughter today. You know, we went and spent some time together. And, you know, and we was talking about, you know, faith in the word of God. And, you know, and I will begin to share with her, you know, when my brother was real sick and my sister, she had to come to Mississippi, you know, and pick him up because the doctor, you know, was saying that he wasn't going to live long. And so she took him on back home with her. And she was telling us that this particular Sunday that Brother Lee came over, you know, and said that he was sitting there. And, you know, and she said all of a sudden that he just jumped up and he lifted my brother's hands, you know, up in the air, and he began to pray for him. And I was telling her how God worked a miracle and how when she taking him, you know, to the doctor, you know, that, you know, they said that he had a liver disease and that he was not going to live. And, you know, and they were sending him home. And when she went to take him for that physical, they couldn't find no liver disease, you know, in his body, that his blood count, everything, you know, was good and stuff. He was a little anemic. And, you know, and I just thank God, you know, for how he is working miracles, even
Amen.
In this time, you know, because he was telling us in his word, he said, these signs shall follow those that believe, you know, that they can lay their hand on the sick. And he said, they shall recover, you know, and we just thank God, you know, for his word, because his word is true. And, you know, and he wants us to try him and see that he, when he opened up the wonders of heaven and pour out blessings upon us, that we have room enough not to receive. And so I just truly thank the Lord, and I thank the Lord for this radio broadcast, you know, that is going forth throughout the world.
Yes.
And I really appreciate it, and I thank the Lord. Amen.
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 Amen. Let us pray for the people of God that is looking for a miracle today.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Pray for them. Some of you out there is looking for healing miracles. Some of you are looking for financial miracles. We're going to pray. Those of you who have been looking for a miracle from the Lord, where it seemed like every door has been closed, your hands are tied, it seemed like you can't move, and it just seemed to you that God is not doing anything. And it seems to you that he's not moving. It seems to you that the word that he spoke to you, however long ago it was, that is now becoming a little dark to you. We're going to pray that you receive that miracle, whatever that miracle may be.
Amen.
That you readable by kind of a sheet, that you may receive that miracle from the Lord.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. We come before you, Almighty Wise God.
Lord Jesus.
King of King and Lord of Lords. The same God today, yesterday, and forever. The same God that parted the Red Sea, who power divided the sea where the children of Israel traveled over on dry ground. The same God, in the name of Jesus, who caused the sun to stand still.
Yes,
the same God that caused healings of those who had withered hands.
Yes.
Those who were lame and couldn't walk. Those that were possessed with devils.
Yes.
Even those whom the doctors have given up on and turned loose that they would die. You are the God of miracles.
Yes.
Lord God, we pray for those who are listening today, no matter what country, city, or state they are in, who has been waiting for a miracle from you. Lord God, we pray that their hearts will be open to receive the miracle, that they may get into a place, Lord God, to receive the miracle works of the Lord. Lord God, we pray that hands be restored. We pray that kidneys will go back to functioning properly. We pray that heart will begin to beat in the right rhythm. We pray that eyesight may return to those who have lost it. That their hearing may come back. They're waiting on a miracle. Someone, Lord God, today is looking for a miracle from you. Someone needs a financial miracle today, Lord God. The house payments is due, Lord God. The bills is due, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Yes,
they're having a problem with their vehicles, Lord God, in Jesus' name. They're missing work, Lord God. Someone needs a financial miracle from you today. Lord God, we ask today that you would open your hand, Lord God, and just pour them out the blessing. Lord God, help them to receive, Lord God, that they may give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Someone today needs a healing miracle from you today. Someone needs healing of cancer. And someone needs healing of AIDS today, Lord God. They're looking for a miracle from you. The doctors have said that it's over for them. The doctor said that there is no help. The doctor said there is no cure. But, Lord God, you are the God of miracles.
Thank you.
And they're looking for a miracle today. God, they have cried out to you, Lord God. They have prayed. They have repented, Lord God. But, Lord God, we ask today that based on the grace and mercy of our Father, that you would stretch forth your hand and touch that body right now. Cause that cancer to flee, that AIDS to be destroyed. Cause that diabetes to go, Lord God, and that lupus to leave. Restore the strength in that body. Cause the blood cells to function properly. Cause the nerves, Lord God, to function properly. Cause the bones to heal up right now in the name of Jesus.
In your mighty name,
someone is looking for a miracle today, Lord God. Someone is crying out, Lord God, that you do something for their child. And Lord God, they need you right now to deliver their child right now in the name of Jesus. Some of them is in the gall of bitterness, Lord God. They are in deep iniquity and wickedness, Lord God. But Lord God, we know that your word said, behold, your arm has not shortened. That, Lord God, that you will stretch forth, Lord God, and you can deliver. You can heal,
Lord.
You can set free.
You
can bring out of bondage, Lord God. You can bring off the road of destruction, Lord God. And put them on the right road. Lord, someone has been praying for a miracle today. And we ask that you show your face, Lord God. Show them who you are once again.
In
the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Thank
you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank God.
Lord,
the word of the Lord today.
Thank
God for this opportunity to pray. For all you that's listening, hey, we have prayed that you will receive the miracle.
Hallelujah.
Now go
thank
forth
you,
and claim the miracle in the name of Jesus. Praise your God. Lift up your voice. Sing the song of deliverance to your King, because he is your Savior and your Messiah.
Thank you.
Glory to the Most High. Fall down and worship him. Give him all the glory and honor and praise. And watch what he do. Hallelujah. God is going to set ambushments for the enemy who comes against you in these different ways. You won't have to lift a finger. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
We're so grateful for the word of the Lord tonight. Thank God, Lord, for all you've been listening. And don't forget, tomorrow night, we have another broadcast. Me and Brother Robert will be back on at 7 o'clock. And we're going to talk to you tomorrow night about the church's name. And we're going to set a foundation. Amen. Look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock p.m. tomorrow night.
Jesus.
Glory be to God.
Amen.
We're so grateful for all you've been listening. Thank God for you, sisters, as you have come on, give your testimony. It went out. Your testimony went out. It went out. Someone has heard. We thank God for it. So once again, Brother Nathaniel Hunt, with Sister Anderson, Sister Teague, we love you. God bless you and God keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.
Amen.
God bless you. Amen.